Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every evening, either at 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30, 10 or 11. And on this show, you will get the facts and nothing but the facts and the truth, nothing but the truth. And you will not get political hype. You will not get the big lie. You will not get political rhetoric. You will get none of those things. You're gonna work with me and hear me on truth and honest discernment. Tonight, first of all, before I go into my background, which I usually do for the benefit of listeners, if you don't know me, I've been running this show for some years, and it's on a daily and evening basis, on a regular basis. And in this show, I try to handle literary issues. I love great books such as War and Peace, Milton's Paradise Lost, etc., T.S. Eliot, The Idea of a Christian Society, or G.K. Chesterton, or Luther, Calvin, or Bonhoeffer, or St. Thomas Aquinas, or Augustine's Confessions, or John Bunyan. These are all Christian books, and I love them and value them. The show also not has a literary emphasis, has a theological emphasis. So I'm a Christian, and I'm not about to budge from that position. I think it's the true faith, although I do welcome all ideas and opinions in faith, because I know that Jesus values them and loves them with his immeasurable and eternal love. The face of the love of Christ is found in every human being, every faith, every idea, every opinion. As it says in Timothy, he says, he wishes that all men be saved and will be with him in heaven. These include our gay friends, our lesbian friends, our transgender friends. Whoever they are, Jesus loves them and values them and wants to be with him in heaven in the joy and love of eternal life. This show has a political component. I'm generally conservative on issues such as abortion and gay marriage, but that doesn't mean that I dislike or want to discriminate against women who want to have an abortion or men who want to marry people of the same sex. I value them and love them, but I know that Jesus values and loves them equally and immeasurably. So before I proceed, I want to go into the elements of this show and my background. I gave you an indication of the three prongs of the show: literary, theological, and political. And it has a political component, but I also value the words of Jesus directing concern for the poor and underclass. I have great concern for the poor, as Jesus did. I'll go into this in a minute. But I now want to go into my background. This is a politically incorrect show. We're not interested in media hype, media falsehood, lies, political rhetoric, propaganda, anything like that. Not interested. Don't want to hear it. We want to hear the facts and the truth. Not political rhetoric, not political lies, not the big lie or the lies the media seems to promulgate and impose on us. As I say, this is a politically incorrect show, not politically correct, and it's politically incorrect, and we do not adhere to media lies, media falsehoods, or propaganda, or anything of that kind. The show is a Christian show. I myself am a Christian, and the show has an emphasis, but I love and value all faiths, all religions, all beliefs, all ideas, all opinions, because I know Jesus cast down his life for all humanity, whether Buddhist, whether Islam, whether or whatever they might be, whether gay, our gay brothers and sisters, whether Islam, Buddhist, Shinto, Chinese communists, whoever they are, he values and loves them. The show has it has a political emphasis. Should I oppose abortion and gay marriage? But that doesn't mean I hate them or wish them discriminated against them. I wish them to be given the love of Christ as they deserve. As it says in Timothy, he wills that all men be saved, whatever their choice and behavior. He makes that offer of eternal life to all men and women in the world. Next, I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show. And these shows have many, many visitors from all over the world. My podcast show has had over 4,300 visitors. My blog talk show has had visitors from Iran and Saudi Arabia, many Muslim countries. And I'm pleased to say that I have a Iranian philosophy student in Iran who values my Christian books and has read them. I think she's an intelligent person and open-minded, and therefore I find her a very worthy person to know, because she is thinking. And people that do not think, they are being made fools of. If they don't want to think or can't think, they will bring down our society to zero. If they don't read books, they will bring our society to darkness. We may be in darkness almost now, but we'll go farther and farther down without the benefit of the great books I mentioned, such as Milton's Paradise Lost. Paradise Lost is a great epic poem written by while Milton was blind, and he details the cosmic fall of mankind in the book of Genesis. A very insightful writer, well worth reading in every way. Next, I wish to you to understand that these radio shows are Christian shows, but I welcome all faith, ideas, and opinions with the face of Jesus' love for all humanity. Next, I am a writer. I've written 10 books, Christian books and legal books, two legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2, and Christian books such as Essay in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, Philosophy, a book on the parables. Parables are 41 parables in the Gospels. They are the words and mind of the Son of God in Christ. They are well worth reading because their profundity and depth are very great. They're great thoughts, they're great thinking, and they're the thinking of God incarnate. They're worth reading. Read them more. Read them 100 times, as many times as you can. You will not exhaust the resources of the parables. I also have written a book on the Psalms, an analysis of all 150 Psalms. And these Psalms are great literary masterpieces. They're Hebrew lyric poetry. They're the legacy of Jewish lyric poetry in the past. And they're very great as literary products. And also they are great spiritual food. The thinking in the Psalms is very great. And when you read the Psalms, I say to you, you will never tire of reading them, or you may tire of reading other books that you won't read, that you couldn't stand reading more than once. Psalms can be read 200 times, and you won't exhaust their greatness as literary product and as spiritual products. I've also written other books, a book on New York Family Law and Practice, the chapter on paternity. I've written Res Gestae, a work on evidence and Bender's Consolidated Evidence. I've written a chapter on criminal law in New York Jurisprudence, Criminal Law Demands and Notices, a chapter on criminal law in New York Jurisprudence, a legal encyclopedia. And I'm preparing a book on the miracles in the Bible. It's partially written, one chapter. I'm also writing books on my blogs, four blogs. And those will soon be out. They're being solicited and prepared. And I have also written three major law review articles, Syracuse Law Review on Criminal Procedure, which was brought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department. I've also written two articles in an Albanian scientific journal called Academicus, which is brought by the State Department. Those are journal articles on the United States educational system and on sexual orientation discrimination. I find problems with the educational system, but I also, wish to indicate that I have no discrimination toward my dear gay brothers and sisters. I want nobody hated, nobody discriminated against. God loves them all. And the ultimate answer I give to about anybody is, Jesus Christ cast down his life for them on the cross and suffered for 3 days to save humanity from their deficiencies and sins. Now, I'm now going to go into something that is very controversial, I think, and difficult to understand. So what I am going to be concerned with is Jesus' statement to love your neighbor as yourself. He also said to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. He also said that to look at a woman with lust is the same as adultery, and that to be angry with your brother is to be murder him. These are radical ethical and moral demands of an unbelievable character. So we have to examine, I think, very carefully the beginning point of these radical demands, which is loving your neighbor as yourself. These are all very difficult demands. They're radical demands. They're pushing the envelope, to all of us to be more loving than we can be as possible as human beings. He says love your neighbor. He says love your enemies. He says pray for whoever will persecute you. He says look at a woman with lust. You're committing adultery, and when you're angry with your brother, you're murdering him. He is pushing the moral envelope unbelievably in the demands he makes on people in these teachings. But we have to understand the beginning point of understanding these teachings is, number one, what does he mean by love, and what is involved? Is it erotic? Is it romantic? I don't think so. So, as I say, in his teachings, Jesus said many things, and one of the most thought-provoking commandments found in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark is presented in Matthew chapter, which says Jesus is saying, to love your neighbor as yourself. Again, in chapter 22, verses 37 to 39, Jesus says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. In verse 38, he says, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. So he says here, Jesus definitely makes a demand here, a great radical moral demand. He says in Matthew chapter 19, thou shalt love the neighbor as yourself. Chapter 22, verses 37 to 39, Jesus says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And in verse 39, he says, and the second is like unto it. He says it's like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In verse 40 of the 22nd chapter of Matthew, Jesus is said to have noted, on these two commandments depend the law and the prophets, namely loving God and loving your neighbor. He has equated loving your neighbor with loving God. Now Mark quotes Jesus as saying in chapter 12, thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And in verse 31, Jesus is quoted as saying, and the second is like, namely that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So he really, the key to the Jesus thinking, he equates loving your neighbor with loving God. And he commands it. So we have to understand, first of all, what he means by love, and that he is commanding us to love people. And what does he mean by it? So let's examine certain aspects of Jesus' commandment to love your neighbor. The commandment is somewhat puzzling, since we are told to love our neighbor as ourselves, and it would appear that Jesus is recommending that we love ourselves. Well, I'm not so sure he exactly means that. The short little essay proposed to examine certain aspects of this commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. The first thing is it's a commandment, and it's somewhat puzzling, since we're told to love our neighbor as ourselves, and it would appear that Jesus is recommending that we love ourselves. Perhaps love of self has been incorrectly interpreted. Most probably the meaning of the saying is that we should treat our neighbor with the same respect and consideration with which we regard ourselves. And when he uses the term love, he means respect, consideration, equality of treatment, I think. He's not talking about, he does not mean actually loving someone erotically, romantically. He means that to understand others' needs as equal to our own. He's not saying we should love ourselves, but he is saying we should treat our neighbor with the same respect and consideration with which we regard ourselves. The second thing about this commandment is that it talks about love, and I just define to you that love is not erotic in this context. It is in meaning is that we should treat our neighbor with the same respect with which we regard ourselves. And the second point about this commandment, which is loving our neighbor as ourselves, and I don't think Jesus is telling us to love ourselves. I don't think that's the point. But he's saying that we should treat our neighbor with the same consideration and respect with which we treat and regard ourselves. And the second observation about this commandment is that it is a commandment. It's a command. It's not something that comes to us naturally. That's why it has to be commanded. Jesus tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And certainly our fallen human nature, I think, and we are failed, and I'm fallen and failed as much as anybody, involves self-love, self-centeredness, as opposed to loving our neighbor, who we may not know at all, be indifferent to, or not care about at all. But the second thing, as I said, the second point about this commandment of love is that it is a commandment. It is, the love of our neighbor does not come easily to us, so Jesus commands it. And if you think about it, our fallen human nature involves self-love and self-centeredness, as opposed to love of our neighbor, whom we may not know at all, be indifferent to, or not care about at all. So our fallen human nature does not really concern itself with loving our neighbor, but usually we are self-centered and consumed with self-love and may not even concerned of love of the neighbor who would be indifferent to and not care about at all. So I think we've got to the understanding of what he means by love in this difficult and challenging commandment for human nature to fulfill. It's a matter of giving the same respect and consideration to every human being you encounter. He doesn't tell us to love them erotically or romantically. He tells us to regard them with the same consideration as we regard ourselves. The second thing is that it is command. This is a command. And Christians who want to follow Christ are told to follow this commandment and show charity and love to all who may pass us by in life. But it is a command, and that's why Jesus does command it, because it doesn't exactly come to us all that easily. And to Christians, he tells us, if we wish to follow Christ, we must follow this commandment of showing love to all who may pass us by in life, which are our neighbor. To love our neighbor as ourselves is extremely difficult, and people can only halfway do it or accomplish it. But Jesus tells us to do it. He commands us to do it, to show charity and love to all who we encounter. To love our neighbor as ourselves is very difficult, and maybe most people can only halfway accomplish it. And also, I have to point out that he not only tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves, but he pushes the envelope, the moral envelope, even further, tell us to love our enemy and pray for those who persecute us. He says to look at a woman with lust is adultery, and to be angry with your brother is murder. He is pushing the moral envelope immeasurably and impossibly. Can we do it? We have to attempt it. The beginning point is to trying to show charity and love to all our neighbor, whoever they may be. To love our neighbor as ourselves is very difficult, and most people can only halfway accomplish it. And the third point, I just defined the type of love I was concerned with, Jesus is concerned with here, and that he commands us because it doesn't come to us naturally in our fallen human nature. And the third and most shocking aspect of this commandment is that Jesus tells us not only to love our neighbors as ourselves, but he does not tell us that our neighbors will love us back. He merely tells us to do it, expecting nothing in return. Again, the commandment is very difficult to fulfill, as most human beings look for connection in their relationships. So what are the three keys It's loving your neighbors ourselves, or loving your enemy, or praying for those that persecute you. What is the key points here? This love is the same. Is not erotic love. It's not romantic love. It's not a love of friendship. It is a love of showing the same consideration, expect, and respect to all men as we regard ourselves. Second, it is a commandment. It doesn't come to us naturally, to our fallen human nature, which is self-centered and filled with self-love. He commands it nevertheless. And the third point is that we have to follow this commandment, since it is commanded by Christ, to show this love and regard to all that we pass by in our lives. So you have to say that loving our neighbor, loving our enemy, or praying for those that persecute us, or whatever Jesus is talking about here, is impossibly difficult, and most people can only attempt it. And I think the final point here, and the most shocking part of this commandment, to love our neighbor and love our enemy, and pray for those that persecute us, he doesn't tell us our neighbor will love us back. He tells us to do it, expecting nothing in return. And this commandment is very difficult to fulfill, because most human beings look for connection in their relationship. And Jesus makes clear we may, in fact, get nothing in return from this love of our neighbor. So this is a command we're taught to fulfill. And the irony of the commandment is, as much as we may love our neighbor, there is a good, if not even, chance that we will receive no love in return. This is a fact. This is the reality of human nature. It is likely we, with loving our neighbor, will produce no love in return. This is the gospel, and this is the commandment of the Savior and Redeemer of the world. This is as much as I have to say about this tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk, and I will be seeing you tomorrow night on another issue of equal importance in the biblical revelation. I welcome your thoughts. I love talking to you, and I hope that you gain some knowledge and insights from what I am talking about here and from the wisdom of the Holy Scriptures. I conclude with this. Books are very important, and unless we have a society grounded in the great books such as Milton's Paradise Lost, Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, or books like that, War and Peace, Resurrection by Tolstoy, etc. Without these books, our society will sink down to eternal ignorance and darkness, which is what we're heading to right now. Ladies and gentlemen, my dear parents, you bring your children to the library, and you show them and introduce them to the books I mentioned, and they will benefit and be raised up immeasurably. Mortimer Adler said in his great book, How to Read a Book, he said, media images are drugs. He said the foundation of Western culture is in the Bible, and he said you must read books that will raise you and stretch your mind and raise you up, not books that will pull you down. Those books are, which are the books of our present society emphasizes, as I say, either it's no books or books that pull us down. I would not choose any child of mine to be pulled down by these forces, which is the present situation in society. Good night.